meetings from both Poland.
So, greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was told to send greetings to you from the brothers in all the churches in Poland. I say all the churches, the three churches in Poland. They send greetings. The brethren up in New York send their greetings. And we praise the Lord for that. Seems like we were just here just a few days ago. My, high time flies. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to do something different tonight. I apologize to Michael. This is Bill Gates' Windows. I carried that in a great American's handbag, Mr. Dell. So, unfortunately, the computer has been shipped off to China and was made by the Chinese. And the operating system is in Polish, so very interesting. If you will stand with me, I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read from verse 1 and through verse 8. Read with me if you will. Open your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity once again to meet in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word written in a book that we can read. We thank you for the opportunity to present the gospel and preach the word of God. God, help me to preach according to your will. Bless all those that are here tonight. If somebody's not saved, we pray that they might come to know you as their Savior. We pray that you would revive Christians and encourage us to see the vision, lift up our eyes, and get the gospel out to every creature. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'll make a few comments and then we're going to do some interaction here. We don't know how the technology is going to work out. I haven't done this. But somebody asked me one time, how do you know that God called you to Poland? A very interesting question. You know what the answer is? How do you know that God told you to stay? How do you know that God told you to stay? Does God only speak to missionaries? Evangelists? God doesn't speak to you? You don't have the Holy Spirit? You don't have the same book that we have? You got a different book? You see what we have in our hands? You do have a Bible tonight, don't you? Amen. Can I see your Bible? What we have in our tonight is the Word of God in written form. It's called the Scriptures. I don't know, when I got saved, when God saved me, and thank God He did some 37 years ago in Michigan, not in a little trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, in Michigan, when God saved me, I didn't see a great light from heaven. No angels came down, the earth did not shake, they didn't speak in tongues, that came later. When I went to Mexico and then later on to Poland, then I finally started speaking in tongues. I didn't hear a voice from heaven.
That's right.
But I had the promise of God in written form that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I called upon the name of the Lord, and I believe that God is true to His promise.
Yeah. Amen.
So how do I know that God has called me to Poland, and how do you know if God has called you to sit where you're at?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I know one thing. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the last time I looked, Poland's in part of the world.
That's right.
And so, He also promised us that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And so in the Bible it says that Paul endeavored to go into Asia and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. Then he wanted to go into Bithynia and the Spirit of God wouldn't let him go there. I figured if God didn't want me to go to Poland, he'd shut the door. But Bill and I went over to Poland in 1995, and we realized, we talked to one of the leading pastors in Poland, happens to be Magdalena's father. And I really thought that brother was depressed when I talked to him the first time. He said, if you want to win souls, go to Romania or stay in Mexico. If you want to win souls, don't come to Poland. Boy, that was like throwing meat to two dogs, man. I'm telling you what. Bill and I decided right there, one of us is coming back. But I found out later, he wasn't depressed, he was just facting. He was just facting. But you know, we saw a great need in Poland. Now, I won't dispute the percentages, but you'll get the idea. When we first went to Poland, I checked the statistics, 95% of the Polish people belong to the Roman Catholic faith. Listen to me carefully because I want to make sure you understand clearly. Not 1%, 0.1% of the people in Poland could be considered truly born again. That's 0.1% of the people of Poland. There are approximately 38 million souls in Poland. That gives you approximately 38,000 souls that would be truly born again, and some of them are doubtful. So I saw the great need. We saw the great need. I began praying, Lord, I want to go there. And the Lord opened the door. And we have complete freedom to preach the gospel. I told this story, I tell it again. Stood on the street preaching the gospel one day, and the police officer came up to me and said, sir, do you have permission to preach here? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. Oh, okay. Then he came back and he says, well, is that permission written? I said, yes, sir, it sure is. Oh, okay. Well, can I see it? I said, you sure can, but you've been asking questions. Now it's my turn. I want to ask a question. Is Jesus Christ Lord of Lords and King of Kings? He said, we believe that he is. I said, well, so do I. Do you think that king has authority? Oh, yes, he has authority. Well, he wrote in the book, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's my authority, and it's written. He said, thank you, goodbye. So we don't have a problem with the authorities in preaching the gospel. We have freedom to preach the gospel. You know what Poland needs? Poland needs some gospel preachers. Poland needs some prayer. I want to show you a slide tonight. It's 8 minutes. It'll give you an idea of what's going on in Poland. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about, what Poland needs. All right? Don't know how this is going to work. I hope it works. The sound might be difficult. If somebody will get the lights for me very quickly. Any problems, we'll blame it on Windows. No, there's no sound in the beginning. There's the percentage, 0.1%. Well, we're not going to have sound. Oh, well. Let's try...
Just sing.
Yeah. There's no sound.
In our grace come in.
Oh,
Okay, if you get the lights for us. Appreciate the help. You saw 17 years of labor in that short slide. We've endeavored to preach the gospel in almost every possible way that you can imagine. Every biblical way. Anything that would not contradict the scriptures or our principles or conscience, we have tried to get the gospel out. We're out on the streets almost every day, rain, cold, or whatever. We're out on the streets preaching the gospel. Sometimes it gets bitter cold where they're preaching the gospel. Warsaw and most of the cities in Poland are door knockers' paradise. They have great, big, huge, 10-story apartment buildings where lots of people live. You could go into that apartment and spend all day knocking on doors. But you know what? The false sects have already been there. And they don't say, oh, another preacher of the gospel, another Christian is knocking on the door. They say, we don't want that religion. But we didn't come to offer them religion. We came to offer them the Savior, Jesus Christ. The only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. We passed out in our first year over 1 million tracts, one at a time. I say one at a time because some brothers, I've known them, they've flown over airplanes over cities and just dumped the tracts out. But we passed them out one at a time. We stopped counting 16 years ago. We saturated the city with letters through the post office. Let the post office take our letters to the homes. Over 100,000 homes went there.
Praise God.
We've put ads in newspapers thanks to some of your sacrificial giving. We put the ads in full page two or three times. One time they messed up on the ad and they gave us a next free ad. They just left off one verse. Well, they asked us, was that important? Yes, it was. It was very important. That was the key verse. Every word of God is important, haven't, don't you know? Well, okay, then they'll give us another free ad. We got another free ad. We've been on the radio. They called us. We were trying to get on the radio. It was too expensive. We didn't have enough of the green stuff. They called me up one day and they said, would you come down and be part of our radio show? Sure. So Corey and I went down there and we were live on a live talk show for an hour. We've done almost everything we can think of in order to get the gospel to as many people as we can. And there are three very small churches. I thank God for those.
Amen.
I hope you don't take that as a complaint. I'm just trying to express the reality of the situation on the ground in Poland. I didn't go to Poland thinking that after 17 years there are going to be three churches. I had in my mind more like 30. We didn't quite get to where we were planning. So what does Poland need? That's what I want to talk to you tonight about. What does Poland need? The first thing that Poland needs is prayer. I want to tell you the type of prayer that Poland needs. Real prayer. Not repetitious prayer, although repetition is good. The lady persuaded the unjust judge through her importunity. So I'm not saying don't repeat your prayer or don't go back time and time again praying. But I'm talking about real prayer. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. What if it was your mother? What if it was your mother in Poland and you wanted to see her saved? I want you to pray for the Polish people like it's your mother. Not somebody else's mother, your mother. You pray like that and God might bless that place. Now I think some Poland's got some real handicaps as far as the blessing of God. First of all, Poland as a nation, maybe not every Pole, of course, is very anti-Semitic. A lot of Jews died in Poland. And there's still a lot of people that aren't particularly happy with Jews. I think that's a big strike against that nation.
Yes, it is.
Number two, idols, not quite as bad as Mexico, but idols are everywhere. Idolatry. You're going to find that God doesn't bless too many nations that are anti-Semitic and idolatrous.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's some great strikes against Poland. Poland has some great strikes against it. When the Reformation took place and the gospel went around the world through Martin Luther and others, the Counter-Reformation was in Poland and it won. So what type of prayers does Poland need? You know how we need to pray to God? We need to pray like Moses did. Lord, yeah, they're rebellious. Lord, yeah, they've ignored your word. Lord, what about your name? Lord, wouldn't it be a token of your mercy? I think we need to argue with God and beg God in that way. God, how about a token of mercy in Poland?
Amen.
Yes, they hated your people. Yes, they've gone after other gods. But for Jesus' sake,
amen.
Let's pray that away.
Amen.
See what will happen in Poland. So the first thing that Poland needs is prayer. Look in Matthew in chapter 22 and verse 29. I'm just going to give you a few verses. I see the clock is ticking faster. Matthew 22 and 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
Right.
Now, that's probably true of San Antonio, Texas as well, but I'm talking about Poland tonight. Poland has committed a great error. The Polish people have committed a great error. They make a mistake, they don't know the scriptures. Now, a lot of Poles have Bibles, but they don't know the scriptures. There are probably people here tonight that have a Bible, but don't know the scriptures. And he says, nor the power of God.
That's right.
You know, Poland is flooded with religion. They don't need another. They got plenty of religion. They need the power of God. What is the power of God? Let's look at some verses. You got your Bible? Let's go. Romans 1 and 16. Turn them quickly. I'm not going to wait for you. Go quick. Romans 1, 16, while you're turning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Amen.
Now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And if you're born again, if you've been truly saved by the grace of God, you're probably not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That doesn't mean it's very easy for you to witness. I think that if they came to you and said, would you tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ? You'd be more than happy to tell them. Yeah? You wouldn't be ashamed at all. The problem is breaking the ice. The problem is you're sitting down at dinner with them and how to get this across without offending them, without disrupting whatever it is that we're doing. Yes, isn't that the problem? The problem isn't that we're ashamed. The problem is we're afraid of their reaction. We're afraid how they might respond to this gospel. And let me tell you something, that gospel preachers, they ought to be bold. They ought to be bold. It makes a difference. And bold people do not, that does not mean they're not afraid.
Yeah, right.
Bold people are men and women that do not allow fear to control them.
Amen.
They allow God, the Holy Spirit, to control them. They are submitted to the Scriptures and the Word of God, and they're not going to let the faces of men prohibit them from getting the gospel out. Their boldness overcomes that fear. Somebody asked me, are you afraid? Every time I go out. Every time I go out. Now, my knees don't shake as much as they did when I first started going out. But you take me, when I've preached in one place, I get comfortable. But you take me to a new place, then I'm wondering, yeah? But I go anyway. So they need the power of God. And what is the power of God? Among other things, it's the gospel of Christ. You know, Poland, they have a 2-year waiting list to get into prison. The prisons are full. Every home has 2 or 3 locks. You know what that's a testimony to? The failure of religion. You see, that Poland is dominated by one dominating religion. Hasn't helped it. It hasn't given freedom to drunkards. It hasn't liberated the drug addict. It hasn't emptied the prisons. Only Jesus Christ can do that.
Amen.
If Poland ever got a hold of Jesus Christ and ever got a hold of the gospel, if God ever granted them mercy to open their eyes, they could see the truth.
Yes.
The prisons would be emptied in a day. It's the power of God. Unto salvation, everyone that believeth. The same, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is, what is it? The power of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Poland needs the power of God. That same chapter down in verse 24. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 1 and 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God. Not just the gospel, but Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know what Poland needs? It needs Jesus Christ. Poland is full of religion. It needs God. Many of my sermons on the street start with that phrase, that sentence. The world is full of religion. Our town is full of religion. There's a church on every corner. We have too much religion and not enough God.
Amen.
Too much religion and not enough Christ.
Amen.
So you want to pray? You pray that Poland gets the power of God, that they get the gospel and they get Christ. I've already mentioned the scriptures. I'll give you another one. Mark 12 and 20 and verse 10. Jesus says, "And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." Now, I personally believe that that was sort of hyperbolic. It was more like, "Don't you recall?" Yeah? Those Jews probably had read the scriptures quite often, yeah? But you know, there's a lot of people, and I've talked to people several times, you know, there is a difference when you preach to a nation that was brought up with the scriptures and you preach to a nation and to a people that are completely ignorant of the scriptures. There is a big difference. Because they have an understanding when you stand up and speak and all the things come back to their minds. Brother Mike was mentioning, you know, we have our vocabulary and we mention those words and you immediately know what we're talking about. But when you speak to a crowd that has never heard the vocabulary, everything's new to them.
That's right.
And there was a time when, in the dark ages, when the people did not have the scriptures in their language.
That's right.
And gospel preachers thought it important that we translate the Bible into the language of the people.
Yeah, that's right.
Now that was what? 400, 500 years ago when they did that? You know, some of them Bibles are still around. We got over to Poland, it's still around. It was the Bible of Poland. The old Gdańsk Bible. But you in Poland in particular, after being occupied by first the Germans and then by the Russians, the language was centralized. And there were pressures on the language. So that when we got over there, we looked for the standard Bible. We looked to the Bible that the people respected and honored. It was the old Gdańsk Bible. Now, many of them were no longer using it. They were telling us at the time that it was because it was too old. Of course, our first thought was, like we hear in America, your old King James Bible, that's just too old. Nobody can understand that. That was our impression. And we began preaching. When we were preaching, hardly a day, when we first started preaching, of course, we spent 9 months trying to learn Polish language school. We had a tutor come to our house 5 hours a day, every day for 9 months, trying to learn Polish. After 9 months, we could barely read, but we tried anyway. And we got on the streets and began preaching the best we could. Hardly a day went by that people didn't take our Bible, our old Gdańsk Bible, take it out of our hand and say, "What in the world are you reading?" "Well, I'm reading the Bible." We thought, man, there is really ignorance in this country. Man, they don't even know what a Bible is. Then we thought, well, the problem is our language. We're not really speaking very well in the Polish language. Yeah, you can ask Magda. I still have problems speaking in the Polish language. Yeah. You talk about tough. The Polish language is tough. How many of you speak Polish? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anybody want to learn? So for numbers of years, we just thought these were just excuses. We thought it was just our language. But as time went by, our language began to improve. It did improve. He giveth more grace. It did improve. And we began to realize that what is clear to us in Bible study and after Bible study, I seen these Polish brothers scratching their heads. How can this American, now they didn't say dumb, but I'm sure that's what they were thinking. How can this American understand so clearly what that says when he can't even hardly read Polish? We can't figure that out. How does he understand it? Well, you know what was happening? I was taking years and years of reading the Bible in English and Spanish, and I was making the assumption that my Polish text was saying the same thing. But it wasn't saying the same thing, because the language had changed. And when I was saying, when I was reading a verse of Scripture where it said the joints and marrow, they were understanding the joints and boogers. Well, how does that go over? And when I was saying we're going to tread on scorpions, they were hearing going to tread on little bears. So there was a real problem with the language. Now, this is my personal opinion. It's from experience and being on the ground and dealing with people. Once we came to the realization that there was some real language problems with this old standard Polish Bible, we had a dilemma. What could we do? We could use the recently translated new version, translated from a different text, translated from different principles that went against the very principles of why we preach from the King James. We could have used that Bible. However, what we noticed in the churches that we visited, they would read from that Bible but correct it with the Gdańsk. Very interesting. We could have done that. That was an option. It wasn't an option for me, nor was it an option for Joe. We did not want to go that route. We came very close to just using the Catholic Bible with the Apocrypha. But we had some problems with our conscience on that. It would have been respected amongst the Catholic people. That would have been a possibility. We decided, after hearing a clamor from traveling all over Poland, we went all over Poland preaching the gospel, passing out tracts. We chased the Pope around for 1 year. We everywhere he went, we went preaching. I can remember one time preaching in a town. The police officers, they did not know what to do with us. Now, the last time the Pope came, they figured out what to do with it. They just hauled us off to jail. We sat in jail for 6 hours until the Pope left. Then they let us out. But the first time, they didn't know what to do with us. And we could hear them. There was about 20 police officers. They're talking on the radio. Capitanie, Captain, what? We got some people out here. We're not sure what they're doing. They're doing something out here. What should we do? They weren't sure how to handle us. Finally, one of the police officers got enough nerve to come up to me and ask me what I was doing. He said, "Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching the Scriptures." "Oh, but did you know the Pope is coming?" I said, "Oh, he is. Did you know Jesus is coming?" But we realized that what could we do? The brethren around in the churches had told us, you know, this old Bible needs to be updated. Somebody needs to update it. Somebody needs to update it. Well, you know, I think if there's something to be done, you ought to do it. Yeah. And you know what I know? I know there are better men than me that can preach the gospel better than I can in Poland. But they're not there. There are gifted men that have gifts with languages that could get that Polish down and not trip over the Polish language like I do, but they're not there. I'm doing what I can with the abilities that God gave me, the best I can for the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I saw a need, a real need, and I didn't see any options. Now, I really thought this was going to be a year operation. I really thought, well, okay, we'll sit down and we'll get the little bears back to being scorpions, and we'll get the boogers to be marrow. And we'll figure that all out, and then we'll be done. Yeah? Well, we did that in the Gospel of John, and some of the Polish brothers looked at that, and they thought, what is this? I mean, we had it so messed up. Long story short, we decided we're going to do the best possible job of updating the language as we can. On the back table is the New Testament we completed last year and printed, and we sold all of them already with no advertising. And they're asking and clamoring for more. We have Psalms and Proverbs almost done. The grammarians are checking once again. We have lots of checks and balances, and they're checking it one more time. We hope to print the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs when we get back.
Praise God.
We hope to do that through your prayers. All of that costs money. So you can pray for that, but this has been a time-consuming project. 10 years. We've learned something. We've never done anything like this. Didn't know what to do exactly. It's been a learning experience. I'm sure we made lots of mistakes. There's lots of mistakes, and we've corrected those mistakes. But it's time-consuming. I did not go to Poland to get involved in this project, but I found myself involved in the project. I saw a need. Joe and I both agreed that needed to be done. Somebody had to do it. We're doing it. Could other people do it better? Yes. Are they doing it? No. But that takes time. There's not a Bible in Poland that has a cross-reference Bible. Do you have a Bible? Lots of our Bibles, we have cross-references. Great handy tool. Not a lot of real, sound, fundamental literature in Poland. So we decided to make our Bible the cross-reference. I spend hours every day working on the cross-references, adding. That's a tedious project. Takes up a lot of time. We do that without ever neglecting the preaching of the gospel. We spend 4 hours a day in the morning working on the Bible project, and Poland is not like Mexico where a lot of people are working in their homes and you could go to their homes in the morning and do a lot of evangelism in the morning. Everybody's working. There's nobody home, so going in the morning is almost useless. So we do a lot of our evangelism in the late afternoon and the evening. So it gives us the morning to work on the Bible project. We spend a lot of hours on that Bible project, a lot of our money going to grammarians and proofreaders and different things to get this done. And like I said, 10 years in the operation. I'm going to mention this here. I'll bring it up again as we go. But we're thankful. All of us are thankful. I think every preacher, every evangelist, every missionary here is thankful for your support. But the reality is, in comparison to other missionaries, we don't get a lot of support. I'm just being real with you. I'm not asking you for money. I'm just telling you, you have gone way beyond our expectations. I'm just saying the reality of it. Because of that, we've had to work. One of the jobs that we do is we teach English. Now, that's very frustrating when you want to preach the gospel, but at the same time, we realize the Lord's in control.
Amen.
We're willing to work, and I'm going to tell you a story here in a minute that emphasizes this point. We're willing to work because we're going to do everything we can to get the gospel to them freely, as Brother Mike was mentioning.
Amen.
But working also gives us an opportunity to reach people in society that would never listen to us out on the street preaching. They would never listen to us. So Janice had opportunity to minister to the Minister of Finance of Poland. She was teaching all the executives, the bigwigs. You don't get to, I mean, the one of the top people of, what is the name of that bank, sweetie? Ing Bank. Do they have it in here in Poland? Or in here in Texas? Ing Bank? You ever heard of it? Big Bank. ING. Yeah, I said Ing. ING. Yeah. That's Ing, in case you didn't know. It's like that girl on that phone that talks to you. You have arrived at the Up Store. The Up Store? UPS, you mean, yeah? Uh-huh. Did you know that girl sasses back to you? That's another story. I was up in our hometown in Ipsy, visiting your church one time. Just happened to be a mission conference at the time. They didn't offer to let me speak, but I was there. Got to talking about what the Lord has done here. Young missionary, been on deputation for 3.5 years. Found out what was going on in San Antonio, Texas, and he says, I want the number of your pastor. Before that happened, I asked him, I said, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to New York. You're going to New York? What are you going to do there? Well, I'm going to start a church in New York amongst all the foreign people that live in New York. Sounds good. That sounds like a great idea. Why don't you? That's great. He says, yeah, but I've been on deputation for 3.5 years. I said, well, why don't you go to New York and get a job? You can't serve God and build a church and get a job. By the way, what is that number of your pastor down there? I said, I don't think you want to call my pastor. He says, no, man, that sounds like a great church. I'd really like to. I bet you would, but I don't think you want to call our pastor. He says, well, why not? I says, because you said that God wouldn't be in that. I don't think God is in that down in San Antonio, according to your criteria. He says, well, what do you mean? All the pastors there work. Silent night, holy. That was the end of that conversation. But do you understand?
Yes.
Takes money. Teaching takes time.
Yes.
Time is valuable when you're trying to do things for the Lord. So, keep that in prayer.
Yes.
It would be nice just to take 2 years and get this project done. But it can't be done if we have to work and we have to do these other things. Do you understand the problem? So you pray for that. You pray that we'll find the workers or somehow God will work it out that we can get this project done. Yeah? We're committed to it. Now, back to preaching. What do they need? What does Paula need? Needs prayer. How should we pray? For the power of God. For the scriptures. We know the scriptures in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We want to get the scriptures to every pole. In their language that they can read, and we want to persuade them to read the scriptures and obey the scriptures. You pray that away. Pray that they would receive the scriptures and obey them. Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Here's the problem. You probably run across this problem here in America, here in Texas. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
That's right.
But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I find it amazing that both here in the United States and in Mexico and in Poland, what people will congregate in order to hear. I find a man that is, well, I say a man, he's painted his face completely white. He's painted all his clothes white. In fact, everything on him is white, except for his eyes. And he stands on the corner without moving. And if you go by and drop a little coin in his cup, he'll move slowly, yes, and get the money out. And it's amazing, a crowd will gather around to listen, to watch that, waiting for somebody else to drop a coin so he can move. The other times, he's just standing there, not moving at all. They're just watching him. I've seen people congregate around people screaming into a microphone. I have no idea what they're saying. They're just screaming. Great congregations will get crowds. But you open a Bible and it's like, everybody's running. Yeah? It's amazing. You get some guru that comes into town and everybody wants to hear him. You get a man that has the Word of God in his hands and the power of God that can change their lives, and they don't want anything to do with it.
That's right.
Sound a lot like what Paul said in his time? They will not endure sound doctrine. Some guru comes through town, they want to hear him, they'll stay up all night listening to him.
Right.
So you pray that God will have mercy upon those people.
Yeah.
So what do we want to do? We want to fill Poland with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine.
Amen.
That is scriptural doctrine. The doctrines that you and I love.
Yes.
Because they are the very Word of God. You pray that God would help us to get the gospel out, to get the Word of God out, so that there would be sound doctrine. You would be surprised at what normally highly intelligent Polish people believe. They believe that man... Many of them believe that man comes from a monkey. I had one man just the other day. He says, You can't believe that Bible. That was written by man. And I asked them, I said, well, what man told you you came from a monkey? He says, well, there are scientific magazines that prove that. Oh, really? Like what? Like, you know, Time and Newsweek. Oh, yeah. Time and Newsweek, huh? They're going to believe Time and Newsweek because they put pretty pictures in there, yeah? But they're not going to believe the Bible. They need sound doctrine. They believe that sodomy and homosexuality comes from DNA. Where'd you get that idea from? It doesn't come from DNA. It comes from a bad choice.
That's right.
Boy, that's a hot topic in Poland. You put a sign up, and we have a sign, and we touch on that topic. We have tracts on that topic. You know, we'd be better off, you know, calling the Pope a dope or something like that, because that wouldn't offend them as much as this sign. Homosexuality does not come from DNA. It comes from a bad choice. Just irritates them to no end. Anger. Yes. If looks could kill, we've been dead 15 times already.
That's right.
So sound doctrine. There's another thing. You want to pray? You need to pray specifically. Just as God commanded. You remember this. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. God told Moses, you ain't going into the promised land. But Joshua is. And he tells them this in verse 38, Deuteronomy 1:38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him.
That's right.
Did you get that? Did you see what God told Moses to do? He says, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. You know what you need to pray? You need to pray that God would encourage us. We have a great advantage in the fact that we've seen God work already numbers of times in a great and mighty way. We know that we serve a great God because we've seen the hand of God. We've experienced the hand of God. We're like the fishermen that have caught fish. And once you catch a fish, no matter how many bad days you have, you know there's a fish out there waiting to get on the hook. Like Corey. Took him down, where's Danny at? We took him out there fishing, Danny's a witness. Took him out fishing, he's not catching anything except for weeds and trouble.
Move on, Dad.
No, we're going to park here for a while. So he's fishing, nothing. The sun is beating down. And Danny, of course, he's catching fish right and left, and I'm catching one every once in a while. But Corey, nothing. About halfway through the day, it started. When are we going home, Dad? Well, we're still going to go fishing. And then Danny says, come on, let's get in the boat. And he's saying, are we going home? No, we're moving up the coast a little bit. We're going again? Can't we go home now? And then about time was ready to go, and Corey caught a fish. And Danny says, okay, let's go. Not now! No, we got to stay here, yeah? Somehow catching a fish changes everything. And somehow winning a soul encourages you. So you need to pray for us, because we still need encouragement, because sometimes it's a long time since you catch a fish. Yeah, I know they're out there. I see them swimming around. I just can't get them to bite the hook. I know they're there. Still working a line. Still putting the gospel out. Still sowing the seed. But some of the Polish brethren, they never saw that. And it's very discouraging. It discourages me. I get discouraged. Just the thought about coming to the mission conference, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to tell them? You know, it's easy here. I mean, you understand here. And that's a blessing. But not everybody understands that. Not everybody understands that. So you pray, as God told Moses, encourage him. Encourage the brethren. Now my last point, because time is flying. Wow. Philippians 4. Thankfully, Michael has already touched this subject. Philippians 4 and verse 15. I'm going to change the word so you can get the grip of this, okay? Now ye San Antonians. Now ye oak knollers, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from San Antonio to go to Mexico, no church communicated with me in, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I don't think I changed that, the meaning of that at all, did I? You get the point? You, brothers and sisters, have from the very beginning given sacrificially. There's no doubt in that, and you are to be commended. We thank God for you. You are a blessing. Some of you have given beyond measure. I think that was the scripture that Paul used in 2 Corinthians. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves to give. That's you. But as Michael has already brought up, and I won't need to repeat, it's a continuing process. We don't mean to be burdensome to you. That's not our intent. But it does take fine. It takes green stuff that's found in your wallet or your purse in order to get things done. It costs money to get to Poland. It costs money to come from Poland to here. It costs money to get downtown in order to preach the gospel. Janice and I, we don't have a car. So if we take the bus, costs money. If we take the taxi, costs money. Tracts that don't go on trees, somebody's got to print them. Costs money. Now, in Mexico, we did not rent, well, for the most part we didn't. We did not build buildings or rent buildings for the Mexican believers. That became a principle. We just don't do it. We expect them to do it. You did it. You built your building, right? You paid for your building. You gave. You prayed. You have your own building. So we didn't do that. We went to Poland with that same principle. Joe, are you done yet? You know, when it's below freezing and the wind is blowing. Coming, it's kind of hard to sit out in a park have a meeting. I said, Brother Joe, I think we need to rethink that principle. And as long as he was preaching, he wouldn't concede. I said, you sit down and let me preach now. We'll see how you if you change your mind or not. So we have to rent a building. Now, it worked out great in Warsaw. We thought, wow. Man, right from the very beginning, the brothers were paying their own expenses. From the very beginning. I don't think we paid the rent on a building maybe once or twice that we had to pay out of our pocket. From the very beginning, they paid. In fact, the church in Warsaw is actually supporting some of these missionaries here. By the grace of God. Very small church. I know it's not a lot, but it's something. Yeah? Is that right, brothers? Yeah? Well, it ain't that way in Łódź, is it? I think it was Corey was telling me one time, one of the brothers come up and says, hey, you know, are we allowed to put bills in this slot? Yeah, you can put bills in there, yeah. Yeah, you can put, yeah, yeah. The bigger the number, the better. And that's about the way it goes. Yeah? What little bit of change? I mean, it's been probably 2 months since we've taken money out of our box. Do you want to count that, Joe? No, I don't want to count that. No, just leave it in there. Why? Because they're putting a grosch. It takes three zlotys and 50 grosch to make $1, and they're putting grosch in there. I don't know why, but and we've tried to teach them. Now, amazingly, last year we had our first mission conference. And amazingly, they did give and supplied the needs for all our missionaries that came. Paid their expenses. But pay the rent, they know not how. The mysteries of the Lord. Yeah. So we have to pay it. But we also have to pay for our apartments. And our heating. You pay air conditioning, we pay heating. Yeah. We have bills. I like your half-price gas in Texas. Half Price, man. I think, man, what a deal. Half Price everywhere you go. Every station's got Half Price. Get your gas. Fill up twice. It's Half Price. Janice thought we'd get rid of the horses out of our house, Corey and Jason and our kids, from eating up all the food bill would go down. Well, it's about four times as much as even when they were there. What am I saying? Inflation, expenses, cost money. We don't mean to be burdensome to you, but I want you to know what you need to pray for.
That's right.
So, that's about all I have to say for this evening. I'm going to do something different. Do you have a question about Poland? I'll ask it one more time. Does somebody have a question about Poland, about what we do or why we do it? One question.
How much does it cost to print your Bible? Like one run? How many do you print?
It cost us to print the New Testament approximately between $5 and $6, depending on the exchange rate. We had them printed in Indian by Muslims who had to import the leather from Italy because they don't want to kill cows in India. So, yeah, so about $5, $6 for a New Testament. Yeah.
How much longer are you estimating it's
going to
take to complete the actual the full Bible?
I wanted the question.
Well, if Joe and I were not teaching English, in other words, we could devote the time that we spend teaching English to the Bible Project, and we had enough workers that could do the proofreading and the grammarians could have time. Most of our workers work full-time jobs, so they're doing it part-time as well. If we could devote all our energies to that, say 4 hours a day every day without other obligations, we think, or we would really like to get it done in 2 years. That would be 4 hours a day every day. For 2 years, we think we could get the Old Testament done. As it stands now, well, just figured out 10 years for the New Testament. Yeah. I'm going to take off by faith this next year. I'm not going to teach English, maybe one or two classes, and I'm going to devote to it, trying to get this as much done as we can. We want to get as much done as we possibly can. It really is a burden. It is a burden. We need to get it done. We're committed to the project. Pray to that end that we could get it done. Yeah. I've been in contact with the university professors in Torun. It's a university town. They're very interested in the project, and so they want to get their students involved in the proofreading and some of the grammar problems that we encounter. So that would be a real good help if they will do it. I'm supposed to get back with the professor when the school semester starts in October. So it really looks good that that might come to pass. So that would be really great if we could get them to help. Yeah. It's very tedious work. You just have to read. You have to proofread. Just takes a lot of time. Any other questions?
What about some of your the two Magdas? Have you asked any help from them?
Magda has four children. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. And the other one has three. That's just very difficult when you have little children running around. You don't understand that when you start this project, it takes you about an hour every day just to get set up and get focused. That's an hour of your time every time you start. So the longer period of time you can work on it, the better. Because it just takes so much time to get set up and get focused on where you're at, what needs to be done. So, like I said, it's not difficult, it's just tedious. And time-consuming. It demands time. It's not real difficult, but it is time-consuming. The preaching needs the power of God, that they might see Christ in us.
Amen.
No? Any other questions? These are good questions, by the way. This is your opportunity, brother. I think Brother Mike Jackson was saying he's planted his anchor. He's not moving anymore. I don't know about another city for myself. I just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the church is very small. You know, through your prayers, maybe in a year. Yeah, through your prayers. But realistically speaking, through experience, We were in Warsaw for 13 years before we actually, and the church is functioning on its own. The Poles are paying their bills. They're doing everything. They're doing the evangelizing, but they're not really growing, but at least they're not shrinking anymore. So we're pretty happy with that. So, yeah. So I don't know about moving on to another city. I don't know. It would be sort of nice. I'm getting older. Moving on to other cities is not as exciting as it used to be. So I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Kind of like Bill, I don't fly any planes anymore. Well, thinking about moving to another city, just who knows. But that would be nice. It would be nice. Because our intent was to get the gospel to all the major cities. So, and we still have a whole lot of major cities still. One more question tonight. Anybody? All right. It's been a little bit different. I apologize for the time, but I hope it was a blessing for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.